Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here on the Progressive Voices Network. We've got a deal for you. You can now subscribe to our new one-hour audio-video combination MalloyCast for only $29 a year. But you have to act fast. This deal ends on tax day, April 15th. Since we're without any business managers now, 100% of your support goes directly to maintaining our nightly campfire. Visit MikeMalloy.com to renew or to subscribe. And thank you for all the ways you keep it lit.
And now, from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
Here we are. Welcome to this edition of the Malloy Podcast. It is, what, the 20-something, 25th of March, 2019. Our sponsor tonight, once again, is Susan from Seattle, or as we affectionately know her, For Earth, who now lives in Georgia. Susan writes, I'm so excited about the upcoming get-together in June. I will definitely be there, and I hope all my True Seeker buddies will be, too. Can't wait to see the Malloy family again. I hope the Kincaids will be there, too. Love you guys, Susan. Now, if you don't know what she's talking about, Kathy will soon put it up at our website. You don't have it up now, do you?
It might be.
It'll be up there soon. It's a get-together we're going to have in the mountains again in June. Different places time. And a visit to the... what games are they?
The Scottish
Highland Games will be going on. And if you book this trip with us, we will have your ticket waiting for you for the Scottish Highland Games. It's... something to see. Trust me. Anyway, thank you, Susan, for the sponsorship. Regarding the Mueller report, boy, let me preface it by saying that my goal is to get completely away from the constant talking about this criminal asshole that's in the White House. We're stuck with him for the better part of two more years. Beyond that, who knows? He's a criminal. He's a bastard. He's a total son of a bitch. And I'm tired of corrupting my thought patterns with thoughts and words and shit about Donald Trump. My plan, and that doesn't mean I'm never going to talk about what the idiotic fuck does, but I mean I'm going to get off of constant every single night, except for the what I wanted to talk about tonight on this podcast is the result of the Mueller investigation. Now, I know that Trump and his gangster friends are just crowing about it's all over, we're totally exonerated, which is bullshit. It's not over, and they're not exonerated. I hope I live long enough to see Trump go to fucking prison. Which he will if he doesn't die, when he gets out of office, he will. The new attorney general, the shill for Donald Trump and the Republican Party, William Barr, he sent a letter to Congress that concluded that according to the Mueller report, which nobody's seen yet except Barr, according to the Mueller report, the orange bastard did not obstruct justice. And there was no collusion. In other words, what Barr wants us to believe after all the indictments, all the investigations, all the guilty pleas, all the convictions surrounding the gangster in chief, that there's no there there where it concerns the dirty bastard who is the president of the United States. Well, I know his faithful are going to accept that. I know that little fucker, Graham Cracker, is going to accept it. I know the animals in the Fox sewer are going to accept it. But I'm not, and neither are you, and neither is anybody with an ounce of sense. Neil Katyal is a law professor at Georgetown. And he's the one who drafted the special counsel regulations under which Robert Mueller was appointed. Now, keep in mind, there's a difference between a special prosecutor and a special counsel. Ken Starr was a special prosecutor. I'm drawing a blank on the names. There were several special prosecutors involving Nixon. Mueller was not a prosecutor. But as Neil Katyal points out, Sunday afternoon, yesterday? Wow. Right after Trump's attorney general, and he is Trump's attorney general. He's not there for the American people or for the Justice Department. This is Trump is what Trump has always wanted. The same way that William Barr was there for William Herbert Walker Bush when this attorney general was attorney general for Bush Sr. and wrote the pardons that George Herbert Walker Bush gave to the Iran-Contra criminals, who in fact committed treason against the United States in that they gave weapons to our enemies. Our enemy was Iran, which it still is. I don't think it's our enemy. I'm just using the language that they used. So William Barr, Trump's attorney general, who was Pappy Bush's attorney general, knows how to weasel things around to please the boss, which is exactly what has happened since Sunday. But immediately after Barr released that letter on Sunday outlining Mueller's report, the orange monkey started tweeting. The first tweet was, "Total exoneration," all caps. Which it is not. But in Trump's fucking simian brain, it is. As Neil Katyal points out, there are any number of reasons the president should not be taking a victory lap. First, obviously, he still faces the New York investigation into campaign finance violations by the Trump team and the various investigations into the Trump organization. And Mr. Barr, in his letter, acknowledges that the Mueller report, quote, "does not exonerate," end quote. Trump's attorney general says the Mueller report does not exonerate Trump on the issue of obstruction of justice, even if it doesn't recommend, the report doesn't recommend an indictment for this orange piece of human waste. But as Neil Katyal points out, the critical part of the letter is that it now creates an entirely new mess. After laying out the scope of the investigation and noting that Mr. Mueller's report does not offer any legal recommendations, Mr. Barr declares that it therefore, quote, "leaves it to the Attorney General to decide whether the conduct described in the report constitutes a crime," end quote. In other words, Mr. Barr has concluded that it's up to Mr. Barr to determine, after 2 years of investigations, dozens of indictments and convictions, all sorts of horrific shit that occurred, that it is up to Mr. Barr to determine if any crimes were committed. Oh, Jesus Christ. He then concludes, Mr. Barr does, that the president, in fact, did not obstruct justice when he fired FBI Director James Comey. even though Trump's own fucking words indicate he, in fact, obstructed justice. The crowing the orange bastard did at the private party with the orange bastard and members of the Russian intelligence organization. I finally got rid of Comey, got rid of that shit. Katyal says that such a conclusion that the firing of James Comey did it not, in fact, constitute obstruction would be momentous in any event, given everything that's happened, all the investigations. But for Barr to do that within 48 hours of getting the report, which pointedly did not reach that conclusion, should be deeply concerning, Neil Katyal says, to every American. Yeah, we've entered into a new phase, is right. We now have, without question, a law-breaking, gangster, lying filth running this country. Neil Katyal goes on, the special counsel regulations were written to provide the public with confidence that justice was done. It is impossible for the public to reach that determination without knowing two things. First, what did the Mueller report conclude? Not William Barr, not this fucker Don Trump, Donald Trump, but what did Mueller's report conclude? And all these fucking redneck, Klan-loving Nazis running around playing with each other's penises tonight in celebration of what they think is a total exoneration, in spite of them, they still don't know what the report said. They know what William Barr said. What did the Mueller report conclude, and what was the evidence on obstruction of justice? That's one. Two, how could William Barr have reached a conclusion so quickly? Barr's letter then raises more questions than it answers, both on the facts contained within the Mueller report and the law that Trump consistently violated, and his oath of office, which he pisses on every single day. Barr's letter says, Mr. Mueller set out, quote, evidence on both sides of the question and leaves unresolved what the special counsel views as, quote, difficult issues of law and fact concerning whether the president's actions and intent could be viewed as obstruction, end quote. That's what Barr wrote. Does that sound like total exoneration to you? Of course not. Katyal writes, yet we don't know what those difficult issues of law and fact concerning the criminal Trump's actions, what those difficult issues were, because William Barr, Trump's attorney general, doesn't say what they are. Only the report says what they are. Or why Mueller, after deciding not to charge on conspiracy, allowed Barr to make the final decision on obstruction. Strange. Now, on the facts, according to Neil Katyal, on the facts, Barr says that the government would need to prove that Trump acted with, quote, corrupt intent, end quote. And therefore, there were no such actions. But how would Barr know? Did he even attempt to interview Trump about his intentions? No. But he is Trump's attorney general. He is not the attorney general of the United States. He is the attorney general of the Trump criminal gangster organization. That's exactly what he is. Kathy L. says, what kind of prosecutor would make a decision about someone's intent without even trying to talk to him? Which is what Barr has done. Particularly in light of Mueller's pointed statement that his report does not exonerate Trump. But to Bob Barr, since he is Trump's attorney general, not the attorney general of the United States, to Bob Barr, William Barr, he's going to let sleeping dogs, so to speak, stay asleep. There's been no exoneration, but Barr is not going to question the president. Why should he? There's nothing to be gained there. He is Trump's attorney general. Mueller didn't have to say anything like he said, that his report does not exonerate. He didn't have to say that. He did so for a reason, and that reason may well be that there is troubling evidence in the substantial record that Mueller put together. Now, apparently, it's up to William Barr to pursue or not pursue the special counsel's charges in the report, whatever they are. In regards to the Trump investigation, remember, Mueller is a special counsel, not a special prosecutor. He himself cannot file charges against the sitting president. He can turn over the evidence to the attorney general, who is supposed to be, don't laugh, the chief law enforcement officer of the United States, which, where it concerns Trump, he is not. But it's not up to Mueller. It's up to Mueller to collect and collate and bring together all the filth and slime and shit and criminal activity that this monster has perpetrated and turn it over to the attorney general for what? Prosecution. Furthermore, Neil Katyal says, we do not know why Mr. Mueller did not try to force an interview with the president. Remember all that? Trump, oh, yeah, I'll talk to him anytime. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, no, I won't. Yeah, I will. No, I won't. And Mueller, according to published reports, toyed with the idea of subpoenaing the president and then letting it go to the Supreme Court. But he didn't. Why not? The answer is not in speculation from dog shit members of the Fox News sewer or from Donald Trump's inner circle of criminals. The answer is in the report. Now, the reason why Mueller did not try to force an interview with Trump matters greatly to this entire issue and to the question of whether or not we still live in a nation of laws, which, in my opinion, we do not. Let's stop fucking around here, pretending like we live in the great United States where no man is above the law. Horseshit. Mueller could have concluded that interviews of sitting presidents for obstruction matters are better done within the context of a congressional impeachment investigation. And I'm just guessing here, but because a sitting president, cannot be indicted, the Barr letter says that this argument didn't influence Barr's conclusion, but again is pointedly silent on Mueller's conclusion. Barr did not conduct the investigation. William Barr is a fucking errand boy. He's a pizza delivery dude. He gets a report from Mueller and carries it around to the gangsters to whom it's very important. He is a fucking delivery boy, and he should be a prosecutor. Attorney General of the United States, they prosecute crimes against the United States or against the Constitution. But not William Barr. He's a fucking delivery boy. Or, Neil goes on, Mr. Barr could have concluded that the Attorney General, not a special counsel like Robert Mueller, should carry out the interview. Duh. The fact that Barr rushed to judgment within 48 hours after a 22-month investigation is, how to put this, deeply worrisome. Neil writes, the opening lines of the obstruction section of Mr. Barr's letter even more concerning. It says that the special counsel investigated, quote, a number of actions by the president, most of which have been the subject of public reporting, end quote. Now, that suggests that at least some of the foundation for an obstruction charge had not yet been made public. That's all. There would be no way, Neil writes, to have confidence in such a quick judgment about previously unreported actions without knowing what those actions were. And Trump and his fucking cadre of gangsters now will be running around saying, well, you can never trust them again. You can. What did he say today? I heard him when he was with that Nazi fuck Netanyahu today. Trump sits there and says, this should never happen to another president. Never happen to a president. You piece of shit. You're not a president. You're a gangster. You're a gangster. Neil goes on. Where it concerns the law, Mr. Barr's letter has also obliquely suggests that he, Barr, concluded or consulted with the Office of Legal Counsel, the elite Justice Department office that interprets federal statutes. This raises the serious question of whether Mr. Barr's decision on Sunday to send this letter was based on the bizarre legal views that he set out in an unsolicited 19-page memo last year. Remember that? Before he was Attorney General. All his reasons why Mueller's investigation was horseshit. Had no foundation in the law or the Constitution. Was bullshit. That memo, the bullshit one, made the argument that the obstruction of justice statute does not apply to the president because the text of the statute doesn't specifically mention the president. What did Nixon say, famously? If the president does it, it's legal or it's not breaking the law. What? If the president does it, that means it's not illegal. That was Nixon's argument 40-some fucking years ago, right before he resigned. The murder statute doesn't mention the president either, nor does the bank robbing statute either. But no one thinks, do they? Well, I guess the Christians do, that Donald Trump can't commit murder. Oh, the evangelical Christian will tell you, of course, if he commits murder, it's God's will. In fact, the Office of Legal Counsel had previously concluded that such an argument to interpret another criminal statute that the president isn't named, the bribery law, was wrong. It was bullshit. Neal goes on. As such, Mr. Barr's reference to the Office of Special Counsel, raises the question of whether he tried to enshrine his idiosyncratic views into the law and bar Trump's prosecution. You think? Barr's unsolicited memo should be understood for what it is, a badly argued attempt to put presidents above the fucking law. You know what that's called. It's called tyranny or a dictatorship. If Barr used that legal fiction to let Trump off the hook, Congress would have to begin an impeachment investigation to vindicate the rule of law. And this is where the Democrats in the House better the fuck wake up and get over their objection to the I word and begin, whether it goes through the Senate or not, to at least bring the evidence up. Impeachment is an indictment. That's all. Neal concludes, sometimes momentous government action leaves everyone uncertain about the next move. This is not one of those times. Congress now has a clear path of action. It must first demand the release of the Mueller report so that Americans can see the evidence for themselves. Then it must call Mr. Barr and Mr. Mueller to testify. Mr. Barr in particular must explain his rationale for reaching the obstruction judgment that it didn't exist that he made. No one wants a president to be guilty of obstruction of justice. The only thing worse than that is a guilty president who goes unpunished. The Barr letter raises the specter that we are, in fact, living in such times where a criminal fuck like Donald Trump and his whole gangster family and the people around him can, in fact, violate the law and nothing will happen. Do you realize what kind of a signal this sends to Trump? That's not a signal. What kind of a fucking bullhorn? You can do anything you want! Now, let me ask you something before we take this break. Do you think, gentle listener, that the House Judiciary Committee will do two things. First, demand and subpoena, if necessary, the special counsel's full report. And then second, upon examining it, open up a hearing to discuss articles of impeachment against this filthy gangster son of a bitch who remains as president. What do you think? We'll be right back. Yes, Michelle Goldberg, writing for, who does she write for, New York Times? Yeah. She writes, don't let Trump pretend he has been vindicated. Michelle writes, the Mueller investigation is over, and the only people close to Donald Trump who have been criminally charged are his former campaign manager, his former deputy campaign manager, his former personal lawyer, his former national security advisor, his former campaign foreign policy advisor, and Roger Stone, the president's longtime friend and strategist. That's all. There is a quotation in that brief summary of Mueller's work, the summary that was issued by Barr that I've been talking about. And the quotation says, quote, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. So naturally, the dumb fuck in the White House immediately sent out complete and total exoneration, which in Trump speak, and this is true because he's a gangster, in Trump speak, all that means is, hey, I got away with fucking everything. Yeah. Mafia dons used to get away with everything, too. How many times? Do you remember? Are you old enough to remember? I don't know if you're old enough to remember. Maybe you've seen enough film footage from the bad old days of the 50s and 60s when mafia boss after mafia boss was put on the stand or put on trial, charged with everything from illegal gambling to murder to running houses of prostitution to tax evasion to gambling, illegal gambling, just fucking on and on and on, and were found not guilty, mainly because the members of the jury were terrified to come back with a verdict guilty. So again and again and again, these gangster fucks got away with everything. I even remember a few of them who would show up for their trials with blankets pulled around their shoulders and a phony kind of hand tremor and in a wheelchair and drooling, you know. And earlier that morning, they'd been humping some 22-year-old girl that some asshole brought in for them. But into court, is it Wednesday? Is there a bathroom near? Remember that? I do. And even though the person sitting there, how many times did John Gotti beat the system before they finally got him? How many times did his fucked up son beat the system before they got him? But before all that, there was a guy named Joe Valachi. Remember him? You old enough? Joe Valachi. A made man in the mafia. Unheard of. This shit never happened. And he spilled his guts before an investigative committee, if I remember right. And then the evidence was carried into court. I think I've got that right. And gangster after fucking gangster after fucking gangster went down. So Trump and his cadre of liars, thieves, and bandits, they got away with this one so far. We don't know what's in the report. I keep coming back to that. Nobody, not even William Barr, knows what's in the report. That round little fucker hasn't read the report. Get out of here. But according to what Barr wants us to believe, it's all over. And according to what Trump is absolutely convinced of, no collusion, no collusion. Lock her up, lock her up. Make America great again. Blah, 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 blah. Right? Michelle Goldberg writes this. I won't pretend that the weekend's news was not very good for Trump. and dispiriting for those of us who despise him. Whatever else is in the Mueller report, it says, according to Barr, that the investigation, quote, did not establish, end quote, that anyone from the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its interference in the 2016 election. The Russians did it all by themselves. Yeah. The overtures we all know about, the Trump Tower meeting, Trump's public call for Russia to obtain Hillary Clinton's emails, which Russia hackers tried to do that very day, were not part of a crime, or at least not part of a crime that the special counsel could prove, because he's not a special prosecutor. There would be no bringing this wretched presidency to an early end. On the contrary, Trump is now emboldened and his foes momentarily defenseless. My opinion here is that we are in, right now, at this moment in American history, we're at a crisis crossroads. I mean, we really are. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here at all. We are at a crossroads. We have a gangster president surrounded by gangsters. His family members are gangsters. Every fucking person who advised him is a gangster, like the campaign chairman, the deputy campaign chairman, his personal lawyer, national security advisor, former campaign foreign policy advisor, and let's not forget Howdy Doody, Roger Stone. They are all criminals. But Trump, at the center of this criminal enterprise, squeaky clean, like John Gotti. Christ almighty. Michelle writes, until the Mueller report is publicly released, however, it's impossible to tell how much of Trump's victory is substantive and how much is spin. The report evidently leaves open the question of whether Trump obstructed justice. In his letter to Congress about the report, William Barr said that he and his deputy, Rod Rosenstein, made the determination that no obstruction of justice occurred. Of course, last year, the same Barr wrote the memo calling Mueller's obstruction investigation, quote, grossly irresponsible and, quote, fatally misconceived. You suppose that's why Trump appointed him in the first place? Michelle writes, and I fully concur, there is no reason for anyone to take William Barr's finding seriously. No reason whatsoever. Michelle goes on, even some of the underlying question about Trump's relationship with Russia remain open. Here, those of us who had hoped for more than from Mueller should be mindful of the temptation to grasp at straws. On Friday, when the news broke that Mueller wasn't recommending any more indictments, many of us immediately asked whether there were sealed indictments. There weren't. Are you sure, Michelle? As we parse Barr's letter, we should be aware of the human tendency toward motivated reasoning. I want to believe it because I want to believe it. But we should be equally aware of the media's tendency to capitulate in the face of Trumpian triumphalism. Recall the pressure to give Trump credit after his first meeting with Kim Jong-un, despite the emptiness of the resulting so-called agreement. Remember that? So Michelle writes, we shouldn't overlook the fact that when it comes to Trump's relationship with Russia, William Barr's letter speaks only to very narrow questions about Trump's campaign involvement in Russian information welfare operations in 2016. It does not address the deep involvement. Who was it? That little son of a bitch, Trump Jr.? Or was it the dumb brother, Eric, who said, "Oh yeah, we don't," you know, years ago, in 2004. "Yeah, we don't care about American banks anymore. We have all we can handle from Russia." Remember that? William Barr, not Mueller. William Barr wrote that no Trump associate conspired or, quote, knowingly coordinated with the Internet Research Agency, the Russian troll farm that spread the pro-Trump and anti-Clinton propaganda. According to William Barr, nobody in Trump's crime family knowingly did any of that. Nah, they were talking about adoption. Barr also wrote that the special counsel didn't find that Trump associates, quote, conspired or coordinated with the Russian government, end quote, in hacking into the DNC's computers. But nobody thought the Trump campaign did have a role in the actual digital break-in. That was handled by Trump's associates in Russia. All right, let's take a quick break. And when I come back, I will finish sharing with you what Michelle Goldberg laid out there today. I'll be right back. Let me mention again, our sponsor tonight is Susan for Earth. Susan writes, "I'm so excited about the upcoming get-together in June. I'll definitely be there, and I hope all my True Seeker buddies will be too. Can't wait to see the Malloy family again. I hope the Kincaids will be there too. Love you guys, Susan." What she's talking about is what we have planned for June, another mountain gathering in the North Georgia Mountains. This one, very close to Blairsville, Georgia, a small mountain town that hosts the Scottish Highland Games every year. And the Scottish Highland Games are exactly what the title would indicate. An announcement from Kathy here about this.
Yeah, the official booking website won't be live until tomorrow, but I have uploaded a flyer. So if you want information about all the details, including how to meet three generations of Malloys and Bob Kincaid in a kilt, it's all there. Go to our homepage.
Yeah, we're going to have another Bob Kincaid barbecue, I understand. And it's not going to rain this time. It's going to be a beautiful late spring day, guaranteed. And there's nothing like late spring in the North Georgia Mountains. I understand we already have a couple of reservations. I can't believe it, but Chris Schaefer, our sponsor and supporter from who is stationed in Stuttgart, Germany, is coming again. Bless you. Bless you there, Chris. And I hope a lot of people who are at the first one will come back again. And am I right, Kathy, in saying it's going to be a tad cheaper this time?
$100
cheaper, your reservation. And it looks like we are arranging for about eight cabins. Eight, not like the retreat houses that we had last time, although those were fine. But these are eight cabins, some of them three and four bedrooms. Yeah, go ahead,
these are luxury mountain cabins on my mountain near Blue Ridge in Morganton between Blue Ridge and Blairsville. And
yeah, look that up. People should look that up.
Look up my mountain. It's spectacular. They all have sunset or sunrise views. You can see six states. We're also going to take a trip on Sunday, included, to Brasstown Bald, which is the highest point in Georgia. and go up to the observatory. And like I said, barbecue feast, Highland Games, ice cream social on the porch, adult beverages, campfire, s'mores, free book. What more do you want? And three generations of Malloys, because your son and grandkids are coming.
Yeah, and by that time, and this is of interest to, I think, the 600 or 700 people who, in effect, purchased advanced copies of the book. By that time, we will have the book in its completed form. That's what I've been doing for hours every day over the past few days. As happens occasionally to novice writers, you write something. The people who came to the first event got a copy of that something, some parts of which were okay, but it was essentially a first draft, and a lot of it didn't make any sense. But that's what I've been doing for the past couple of weeks, is restructuring and rewriting. And the publisher that we found is just waiting for me to send in the completed copy. And the turnaround time is what? Once they get it? 5 or 6 days? 5 or 6 days. And it'll be published here in the United States. We thought about having it published in Canada. We love Canada. But I'd rather have Made in America, you understand. So that will be given to all of our attendees and, of course, the people who sponsored the Kickstarter campaign when all this began. And all I can say again is sorry for all the delays, but if you're not a novelist or a writer, which I am not, well, after this, maybe so, try putting together a book. Woo! Anyway, to finish up what Michelle Goldberg writes, assuming William Barr's summary is accurate, it means that while Trump was installed with Russia's help, neither he nor his campaign assisted Russia in committing the crimes that aided his ascent, which is impossible. We're still in the dark, however, about all the steps Trump took to thwart the investigation and about the extent of his vulnerability to compromise. On Saturday, the left-wing writer Matt Taibbi published a widely shared essay calling Russiagate, quote, this generation's weapons of mass destruction. In other words, a national security hoax abetted by a credulous media akin to the one that justified the Iraq war. Matt Taibbi wrote, quote, the biggest thing this affair has uncovered so far is Donald Trump paying off a porn star. Well, Matt, what can I say? Michelle says that's silly. The biggest thing this affair has uncovered is that throughout much of the presidential campaign, Trump was seeking to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. The deal had the potential to make hundreds of millions of dollars for the Trump organization, and Trump's lawyer solicited the Russian government's help to get it done. After the election, Trump lied about the deal to the American people. Vladimir Putin knew the truth, giving him leverage over Trump. Is that the only leverage he had? Or has. It's now up to Congress. It is indeed. And I wonder, is the Congress of the United States, whose constitutional duty is oversight of the presidency, do you suppose this Congress is capable of fulfilling its responsibility? As I sit here right now, my quick answer is no. My long answer is fuck no. They don't have the courage. We'll see. I'll see you next time. In the meantime, take care and keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.